I'm on go. Okay. Well, as I am on go, I'm just going to make sure my slides are in order. But my name is David Reyes, and I am a DNP student at the University of Washington and hope to be finishing soon. And I also work at the Sealeton County Health Department as a health administrator there. And I want to start by thanking one of my both mentors, friends, and supervisors, Betty Beckenmeyer. But also Michelle Issel, who's also the other co-PI on this project. So I will just go into the program. And I have I have no final financial disclosures or interest in this. So first, to give you a little of history of this, this study, which was conducted, was part of the CRISP project. And I will tell you what that acronym names in a minute. And so it was originally designed to look at what were the experiences of public health nursing leaders, directors of nursing, in the health departments in this study. And going into this study, looking at the objectives to for this session is to define what is accountable public health nursing practice, given our current state of public health nursing and reform and where we're going. But to also look at some of the challenges that public health nursing leaders are facing today, and how are we able to then actually move forward public health nursing practice. And then to also look at some elements of that, which include influential leadership. So this gives you a sense of what the project aim for the CRISP project. One of them have many objectives, and one of them was to enhance directors of nursing and the public health nursing competencies related to quality and improvement and leadership. So that is really how this study came together. And the purpose of the study, again, was to ascertain and to assess what were the perceptions and challenges that for public health nursing leaders in these departments in terms of their ability to be effective leaders. So this was a purposive sample. I can never say that name. A convenience sample. And this was 7 nursing directors in 6 local health departments in 2 states. The CRISP project, the name of it is CRISP, meaning keeping RNs to improve and strengthen population health. So that's really what framed this. And there were some overarching questions that I used in ascertaining this. One was to look at the characteristics of and qualities of effective leadership, what contributed or impacted the effectiveness as a public health nursing leader, what were the qualities that the directors of nursing perceived as effective for them, as effective, influential leaders. And then what were some of the barriers that they encountered in terms of their effectiveness to lead change? So we used an exploratory methodology using semi-structured interview techniques and to ascertain, again, what were these perceptions of leadership and quality, and then to tease those out. We used a telephone interview about 60 minutes long with each of these directors of nursing. And you might imagine that when you're on the phone, obviously you don't see people's expressions when you're interviewing, which can be a very important aspect of actually conducting qualitative research, because you don't necessarily have the cues that you might normally have if you have a face-to-face or if you're doing a focus group interview. So that certainly was, I wouldn't say a challenge, but it added a different perspective to really the analysis, in my view, in terms of trying to read into some of the words, the verbs, the cues that were coming verbally and then that were transcribed. So it'd be interesting to have done that in person to see what that might have elicited. So there were 5 major themes that actually came out of this study, and I'm only going to really talk about 3 of them because of time, but also there was quite a bit of data in this. So the 5 themes that came out of this that we named were accountable public health nursing practice, coexistent accountabilities, effectiveness barriers, influential leadership, and lifelong learning. And how we got to this point was obviously through the analysis, doing coding by words, breaking them down into categories and then themes and then some major families. We also use the Atlas TI, and that's not a endorsement. I'm just saying it's what we used. Again, no financial disclosure issues here, but it was a tool that we use and continue to use, and I will say that I've gone over the data a lot, and they say at some point you live the data, and I've been living the data. I wake up and I think about, oh, what if I were to say, you know, look at this. So there's been some additional collapsing since the initial analysis of this. And this was also presented back to the directors of nursing via a conference call. So it's important, I think, as qualitative researchers to really think about validity and credibility. It's very different from a quantitative perspective because certainly we're not doing statistical analysis, but we are really looking at resonance with the participants, and in this case with the seven directors of nursing. So how that occurred was I did the initial coding and then I developed a code book of two of the interviews, and then we had a second researcher, a student assistant researcher, who then also did a concurrent review and analysis. So we did them separately, and then we came together, we reviewed those, we did some collapsing, and then came up with these themes. And then since then, I've also gone through again and then have realized that there's some additional collapsing that could be done, and I've done that as well. So to talk about the first theme here, again, I'm not going to talk about all of them, but the first one is accountable public health nursing practice. And what this theme was about, really, and you can see the quote here, is about how do we advance population health? And the context of this, keep in mind, is that when this study was done a year ago, these health departments were going under major change. And that they were in similar phases, I would say, of the health reform and the reductions in finances, resources, and reductions in the public health nursing workforce. So that really sort of set the stage for not only these interviews, but then the analysis and what came out of this. And so this is really talking about what was on their minds and present at the time of this study. Was how do we continue to, one, advance population-level health, given that we have a changing environment, services are being reduced or eliminated, and we're also losing both our public health nursing staff as well as other support resources in the organizations that they worked. So this quote here about advocacy was one of the ones that came out. And there were five qualities that came out of this this theme, and I will go through those here in a minute. So the first one here, obviously, is on advocacy. And advocacy was really looking about how they felt about advocating and really speaking to the value of public health nursing and the contribution that public health nurses were making for advancing public population health. But understanding that there are also a lot of barriers to achieving that. But really clearly promoting population health was really important to these directors of nursing, particularly since that transition away from individual care in some cases was happening much more rapidly. And ultimately, how are we reducing health disparities and how are we improving health outcomes? So this was not just public health nursing focus. This was also looking beyond just our contribution, but what is the impact on the communities and the populations that they were serving? The second quality of accountable public health nursing practice was articulate. And I'm actually going to be revising this a little bit. Actually, it's articulating value. And that's something, as I continue to go through the data, that what this was speaking to was what is the value system that is being expressed as a part of being accountable, not just to our clients, but what's the value of public health nursing? And that in order to really, and the venue in which that occurred was really important because here we had decreases in resources at an organizational level. So what's the value of public health nursing and its contribution to population health when you have an organization that is reducing its work as public health nursing workforce? And then how do you also articulate that to the community? And as we know, as nurses in general, we are the most trusted health profession. But there tends to still be a gap in how we actually can articulate that on another level with the community. They know it, but how do they see it? How do they experience it? And then, as important, or maybe even more importantly, was to decision makers, because it is the decision makers who have the ability to say we allocate resources or we don't allocate resources. We reduce positions, we don't reduce positions. So this, again, important quality of articulating the value. The third quality was around change leadership. And I would say this is one of the major threads through all of the themes, and it landed here because it really was about how we are accountable for our practice, which is leading change, regardless of whether it's imposed or not, that we don't necessarily have the ability to say, no, we're not going to change. And if we do, sometimes we have to leave. But in this case, how do we actually effectively move through change, given that it is the reality? And how that happened was being able to, particularly in this case with the directors of nursing, was actually how were they engaging their staff, their public health nurses. Some were in varying stages of understanding that they were moving away from individual level service delivery to trying to broaden to population level focus, but they were in different stages. And motivating not just their own staff, but others and how to actually move that forward. Importantly, too, was how do you form partnerships within the teams that you're working with. And I was really struck that that all of the directors here talked about how they were trying to collaborate with their staff on how to actually impact and make change. That it wasn't an isolated that they were the decision maker or positional authority, but they were really trying to engage their staff and have them understand the rationale behind the change. And that was really important. And that what came through that was their ability to role model the change, and that's also an important aspect of change leadership. We know that if you can't embrace change and show how to go through it, then we're not able to really be successful and effective. And then through that process, being able to mentor not only their staff, but others around them. And that was an important quality. Practice competency is what it says. What were the skill sets that the directors of nursing, that PHN leaders bring to the table in terms of their nursing practice, in terms of public health practice, but more than just sort of the science of public health practice and the evidence, but also some of those very concrete skills in terms of, do you know how to manage, which is very different than leadership? Do you know how to develop programs? Can you evaluate those programs? And then how do you communicate those? How can you communicate the impact of what practice change you're making here? And then also, how do you negotiate? Because sometimes you need the ability to negotiate change based on what's happening, and it may not necessarily be able to occur now, but you might be able to negotiate, and let's change the timeline, or maybe let's negotiate that I need more resources. So negotiation skills is a really important quality in order to move change forward. And then overarching, as I've mentioned, was population-focused care promotion. That the center of really our accountability as public health nurses is really, again, focusing in on our clients who are the populations that we work with and the communities. And in order to do that, that's tied to a change process. And again, that theme of change that moves through. So I'll talk a little bit now about leadership effectiveness barriers. And this really was very interesting, again, during this study, how not necessarily concrete these barriers came out. Some of them were concrete, but there was this thread of sometimes being able to name a barrier, but through conversation, having to tease out what was that sort of the root cause of those barriers. And what came out of this for me was there were really three levels of barriers that they were encountering. One at the organization or system level, one is in terms of their own practice or our practice, and then their individual practice level. So at the organizational level, we're really looking at funding and financial resources and infrastructure. The practice level, their own educational preparation perhaps, or that of their staff. And at an individual level, their own skill level. So then we look at what is influential leadership and how does it impact their ability to be leaders. Being strategic in terms of their thinking, moving forward to actually have a plan of action to frame the vision that they are moving forward, and then to be able to move that through negotiation skills was really critical. Being a trust builder, and this again goes back to trust with their staff, but also I think trust again with the community, because the community was a really important part of the work that they were doing and engaging community, so the community could trust them that they were actually doing the right thing. And then how were they able to actually then communicate that and also listen, not just to their staff, but also listen to stakeholders. And that might, again, be the community. It might also be folks that they're working with in their organization. And then how were they also engaging in collaborative decision-making, particularly with their staff on one level in terms of change, but then also with the community, so that then they were able to build trust with the community, say, we still and continue to put your priorities forward so that we can achieve some common goals. And then, of course, the collaborative work practices with their teams that they were building. Visionary, this is another theme, quality, I should say, that came through this theme, the importance of the vision for what was needing to be accomplished. That in order to move the vision forward, they had to be very articulate about that vision in order to say, this is the reason and the rationale for it. This is the purpose for our moving forward. Because without the vision, a leader really can't endorse a change or actually lead a change. So having that vision ahead and not just making change for change's sake. So what are the implications for this? So just to back up a bit, when I was doing a review of the literature, I could find three sources in the literature about leadership in public health nursing. One was actually with Ruth Freeman and her colleague back in 1958, who named about 58 qualities of nursing leadership. And again, in context, in 1958, public health nursing practice was very different. And then again, in 1984, again, one more study that looked at practices. And then in 1997, a Delphi study that looked at qualities. I won't go into that, but it really resonated that our body of knowledge around how we practice is pretty sparse. But there's a lot in the literature around general nursing leadership. And one of the things that came out of this was what is called transformational leadership. And you may have heard of this. And I had been exposed to this in undergraduate. And I started reading through the literature again and how some of what these nursing leaders were actually talking about really equates to a lot of what transformational leadership is about. So in some sense, we've been doing this for a long time. We just haven't been talking about it. So where do we go from here? I think that in terms of implications for the practice setting, that we really have to have ability to, through perhaps channels with other organizations like NACHO, talk about what are the practices that public health nursing leaders are engaged in. One thing I didn't talk about was how sometimes overworked and how many responsibilities that public health nursing leaders have, these directors of nursing, and how do you sort through the priorities in a day? So in terms of their scope of responsibility, pretty huge. There needs to be a realistic view of what is a realistic body of work for a public health nursing leader. And then in terms of education, is what sort of leadership development that we need to look at, not just in terms of the practice setting and trying to build in mentorship, because that was a big gap, was that most of these leaders did not have leaders, organizational mentors. They went outside the organization. So what does that mean in terms of succession planning in an organization where you don't want to lose your leaders? And then in terms of research, what are some additional areas that leaders need to develop skill? And perhaps even to compare leadership models, if we're looking at transformational leadership, with what perhaps these leaders have come out to say. So just in conclusion then, you know, that the effectiveness for leadership is really constrained by a lot of different factors, some that are in their control and sometimes not within their control. And then to leave you finally with this from the Future of Nursing report, in terms of assuring that we as nurses need to be ready to assume leadership roles. But that's going to take education. It's going to take the ability to actually have programs that allow us to be leaders, to be able to mentor through and achieve competencies that we don't have, and then to be able to take that to another level and develop that at all levels, not just with leaders but with our staff, because they're future leaders as well. So thank you very much.